I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, yeah, we're just inching closer to NXT TakeOver In Your House. But before we do that, we have another jam-packed episode of NXT on USA. Hello, everyone. My name is Lobo Boys, and we're going to break down all the matches and all the results here tonight. Before I do, I got to introduce my all-star panel. She is a correspondent with Championship Wrestling from Arizona, and she was nominated for an actual Emmy. Give it up for Miss Emily May.
Hi, everyone. Happy Wednesday.
Hey, how you doing, Emily? Good?
We're good. We're good. Keeping busy, staying positive, you know, taking it day by day.
Fantastic. And also, I've been asked by his agent to read this. This guy is a professional wrestler. He is a professional comedian. And now he's a professional commentator. Give it up for hashtag Humzamania, Humza Khan.
What's up, guys? I think coronavirus is still going on. I really can't tell because people outside are not taking precautions. So it's regular life for me as usual.
Oh, man, I missed you last week, man. Going out there, hanging out with the fam.
Man, it's Ramadan, so we're forced to starve ourselves, and I can't breathe or think, or I'm loopy and lightheaded, but hey.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's going to be fun then.
put it over, brother. And thank you for all you guys in the chat. We read your comments and questions and suggestions all the time because at AfterBuzz TV, we are the ESPN TV talk. But before we get into today's results, tragedy struck the world of professional wrestling. Former WWE champion, tag team champion, Shad Gaspard was found on the Venice Beach in West LA. He went missing on Sunday, got caught in a riptide. He was 39, leaving behind a wife and child. So our thoughts go out to him and his family and all of the people inside the wrestling sphere who's affected.
Yeah, it's been, I just quickly, the response online and everyone from the wrestling industry, even outside of the, just other aspects of the entertainment industry and sports and entertainment have reached out and just shared their memories of him. And it's just beautiful, just the legacy that he, an imprint that he's had on people's lives.
I agree. It's so many people are affected by this. I didn't know him personally, but he trained at Knox Pro sometimes and he would come by all the time. I wanted to get to know him because everyone mentioned how loving he is. And it's just such a sad moment for this to happen at this time. So my thoughts and prayers go out to his family, and I hope that we can all get through this.
Absolutely. Stay tuned for Twitter for more updates. I know people are reaching out with ways you can help that family out during this trying time. But the first match on NXT today was a little bit interesting because at first I thought it was going to be a pretty much standard fare. Karrion Kross comes out with his banging entrance, a very quick match. But then Tommaso Ciampa, which I really forgot about that he attacked him 4 weeks ago. He was like, hey, man, I'm not really feeling this. We're going to have a match at In Your House. Emily May, I'm going to start with you. Look, Karrion Kross looks like he's $1 million, has the best entrance, but Tommaso Ciampa is a formidable opponent. What do you think about this feud on the horizon?
Oh, I think this feud is going to be fantastic. And I've been thinking about where he kind of belongs and who he's going to go against. And it's a perfect opponent. You know, they're building up to it. He has this epic entrance. He has the fog and the music, and it is so big and grand, and you have to go against one of the grandest opponents ever, and that's Ciampa. So I think it's going to be fantastic.
I wonder if they like worked it out. Like he came out one time, I was like, guys, I need the fog. Without the fog, this is not my feeling at all.
Wouldn't you want fog? I feel like you would like, and the red light, red and orange lights. Like you gotta have, you know, you gotta make a big like moment and a big statement when it's like you're debuting, you know? It's only been a few weeks, right? So we're still like getting little bits and pieces of who he is and kind of getting those wins in. And this is like building to like, could be one of the biggest feuds in NXT.
True. I was perusing the Twitter, Humza, and people are saying Kross, Ciampa was a dope match, but it's happening way too soon. Agree or disagree, take over In Your House.
I mean, whether I agree or disagree, I know I popped for that moment. I forgot Ciampa got attacked, right?
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah. Hey. Yes. We're getting a lot of things these days.
right. And the entrance, like I said, like you guys are saying, the entrance is magnificent. I love a good entrance. And the whole bird flying over, the silhouette, him popping up, Scarlett accompanying him down, the smoke
the music,
and everything.
Yeah.
I thought it was very sexy the way she opened or she held the ropes for Ciampa to get in. Like, come on through. We're not scared of you. So all of it seems very, very interesting. And I'm excited about this. And it's been a while since I've been excited about a feud going on in NXT.
Oh, fair enough. I'm on board too. I know the match is going to be pretty awesome. Even though Ciampa gives up considerable size and strength to Karrion Kross, I think they're the best kind of match, that brutal match off the bat. But I hope it's not a one and done. You know, I really think that there's something you can really escalate and battle for NXT supremacy and really symbolizing a change of the guard, because I feel like Karrion Kross is like a lead of a new class. You know, I felt like we had that Ciampa Gargano era. We'll get to that a little bit later. Emily May, if you were the fantasy booker.
Oh, my favorite job.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, like, if you had to build NXT, you don't really know who's in play, but you got to put a mid-card star, a top star to build around. Is Karrion Kross that guy?
I mean, I don't think he's a mid-card kind of guy. I feel like they're building him to be, a title holder and a champion. So, you know, I feel like they're pushing it so quickly because it makes sense, because he has the charisma and the presence and he has the mic skills and the moves to kind of move so quickly through NXT. That's why they're pushing him for this feud so quickly. So I feel like they are placing him at a good strategic position that makes sense right now based on kind of where everyone else is in NXT.
True. Hamza, final thought about this. Is Tommaso Ciampa, will he ever get near Goldie again or what? All these side missions?
I think he may have hit the ceiling where he's at. So, you know, all he can do really at this point to really do something worth it in NXT is bring up other talent. And this would be a great place to start, because that whole entrance, he's nailing it, by the way. Karrion Kross is nailing his character. He's nailing the entrance. He's nailing the moves. Like Loomis, for example, Loomis has a kind of a weird, intriguing look and character too, but sometimes he doesn't do as well. Whereas Karrion Kross has been nailing it every single time he comes out.
For now.
So many things that I disagree with that. I just bought my Dexter Loomis shirt on ShopZone.com, but we have to move on. Our second match of the evening, El Hijo de Fantasma takes on Akira Tozawa in Group B action of the Interim Cruiserweight title tournament. Okay. You know what? I'm going to go first. Get my grievances out.
Well, I feel like you have things to talk about here.
I like the idea. I don't like stripping talent or whatever, like the Sami Zayn situation. So I like the Interim tournament idea. I like the guys involved on paper. The level of competition is okay. Nothing wrong with it, because these guys can still do more than I can. But Io De Fantasma won his bracket in the least convincing way possible. Like, I just feel like, oh, okay, he won. All right, whatever, you know? I feel like something was missing there. Emily, am I crazy? Am I nuts?
No, I have to say that the match started out with, like, Tozawa with some really great precision moves, right? You had some very good, you know, there were some like top rope moves. Again, he's mixing in his mix of moves and a diverse mixture of his styles, right? In contrast with Fantasma. But then I do have to say, it did seem like it was a little like flash victory in the end, where it just felt like it happened way too soon, and it didn't feel like it was quite clicking for me as I was watching it, because they had such like precision in the beginning, and then I feel like it kind of slowed down and the pacing was a little bit off near the end, where I felt like the victory was a little anticlimactic for me.
Hamza, man, tell me I'm crazy, because I felt crazy thinking about this.
But am I crazy?
I was like really, that's it? EO wins?
It kind of came off to me. So one thing I got to say, I tweeted this in the middle of the match, but I would love to have a match with Akira Tozawa. He can make anybody look good, whether he's winning or losing. He's so good at wrestling. And the very beginning of it was wonderful. I love the chain wrestling. I love the technicality of it. Everything was good. It's almost like the ref came over to them and was like, hey, guys, we're running out of time. He just
That's what I do on this show. That's what I do. Hey, guys, we're out of time. We're out of time.
Just do a roll-up real quick or something. What's the one move that everyone uses in WWE? They roll somebody up and call it a day. So the beginning of it was solid. I loved it. And then it just didn't go anywhere. So
It's hard to say because we don't have the storyline in the background too of like this van abducting people. We don't really know what that is. But I was writing this in my notes, even though NXT has dabbled with this before with Trish and Thunder Liger and the Lucha Dragons, there hasn't really been a luchador on that brand that's really like became a face or a notable character. Is Iho the guy, and is it now?
I can see that. That's exactly what I see happening. I feel like he's more of a let me lead a group and let them do my dirty work style of worker now. His wrestling I watched some of his other matches, and then some of his wrestling was a lot better than what he's doing now. So I'm not sure if it's just getting a little bit older and not able to keep up on the platform or what it is. So something where he's leading the charge of a group of masked marauders would be wonderful. You know?
Masked bandits of some masked kind. No.
Emily May, we talked about Cesaro on the Monday Night Raw show, how on that show he can't buy a win, but on NXT he's like this dynamo who like wins all the time. Didn't win tonight. What would you do with Akira Tozawa? Where does it go from here? Is he just going to be an enhancement talent, or would you try to?
I would hope not, because he really has like the right set of moves and the right style, and that in the right place he could shine. And so I feel like, you know, yeah, he's taken some wins on Raw and stuff, but I'm not sure. It's tough because you have to, like, you don't want to keep having him in a place where he's not going to be successful, you know? And like tonight, I feel like tonight he still was shining and still did a great job, but, you know, it wasn't a win. So, but yeah, you can still win without taking the, you know.
Yeah, it's a tough spot to be in for sure. But speaking of tough, my favorite part of the night, Shotzi Blackheart and her tank, making it happen. There is something that's so compelling about Shotzi Blackheart. Yeah, she comes a little bit too hot sometimes. I'm going to cry, whatever. But come on, that look is unique. She has a tank. I could totally see her beating up someone. Now, Hums, I'm going to ask you, because you are a professional wrestler. I know there is, especially at different levels of entertaining, whether you're at small places, regional places, national places, there is a bit of allowance for how gimmicky is your gimmick. You have Shotzi Blackheart. She is living the gimmick, and it works for me personally, but where's the challenge of that? Trying to find a balance between what you think the audience will like and going too hard and not going hard enough.
If you're a wrestler and you love what you do, you are your gimmick 100% of the time. And that's what I like about her. I feel like she goes all out. She gives it her all. And that's the one thing that's missing in today's wrestling. Because, like, if I watch two wrestlers go at it, and then a week later, like, on Instagram, I see them pulling up together somewhere, it's like, where's the believability in that? You know what I'm saying? So I like the fact that she's going balls to the wall. Let me do as much as I can. She goes all out for it. She reminds me of Green Day. Don't want to be an American idiot. I just was like, let's go. Let's go. I was excited. Let's go. I wish the tank to shoot out toilet paper to people's residence as we need.
She's a force for good.
Now. She's a force for good now. She's a humanitarian.
Emily May, thoughts about Shotzi Blackheart?
I love Shotzi Blackheart. I think she's phenomenal. I love when she comes in with her little mini tank. But then here tonight, we saw a giant real tank. I loved it. I wanted to be on the tank with her, kind of be her sidekick, hold a little flag maybe, you know.
I wonder if you bought Rusev's tank.
I think it was Rusev's tank. The thing is, I want to be careful with what she does because I want her to still be taken seriously. So there's a fine line. Like, it is a badass gimmick, right? Yeah. You have the tank, you have like the green hair, and you have like this look where you're coming in and you're going to kick some butt. But I also want to make sure that she's taken seriously as a wrestler. So like, there's a fine line between how extreme your gimmick goes versus like when you're in the ring. So I just want to...
Yeah. I agree with you. I think that's very important. But ever since I saw Kurt Angle drive the milk truck, anything is possible. Anything is possible. You drive a milk truck and you can still put someone in ankle lock the week afterwards.
Exactly. So. I'll give it to you, Flobo. I'll give that to you.
Speaking of women's action, Mia Yim on a quest to get her heat back had a match against Santana Garrett, which Santana Garrett, if you don't know, she's also a trainer at the Performance Center. But I don't think she's won a match on TV in about a year. So for me personally, like, the match is already going to happen. But that said, Mia Yim won in a decisive fashion that shows that she is back, or is she? Emily May, I'm starting with you. You know me. We were on the show together for a while. Yeah. You know my thoughts about Mia Yim, which came in with the win, bouncing back from Charlotte. is Me and Yim on the up and up? Would you buy stock in Me and Yim Company?
So, you know, I'm still mixed about Mia Yim right now, because right now she's trying she's trying to assert dominance all over again. Again, her ego hurts. Like, she's trying to come back from a loss. So this was kind of like that perfect match to reestablish herself in NXT and say, hey, I still got it. I don't always have a win, but I'm in it, and I'm in it to win it when I can.
Right. So, Emily, let me ask you this. After the match, he was all celebrating, but the guy with all heart but no soul and the poison pixie show up. Gargano and Candice LeRae looking like they want to have a doubles match with Keith Lee getting involved. I want your thoughts about this first from a character standpoint. Yes. Because, you know, we talked about Gargano and Candice at one point. Talked about Mia Yim. And now Keith Lee is now involved. Looks like it's going to be a doubles feud. Thoughts about that? Especially, keep in mind, we tried that in the main roster with the whole Lacey Evans, Baron Corbin thing against Becky and Seth.
Yeah, you know, so I think they're building to kind of get kind of a North American championship kind of angle going. So the way I see it is they're really trying, really the long game, long-term strategy is to go after Keith Lee. And so this is kind of, in my way, a way for them to do that. Meaning Candice LeRae and Johnny. So they're kind of trying to insert themselves in kind of, I don't want to say the weakest link, but like with the person that hasn't necessarily been getting all the wins, and that's Mia Yim. And so then they're finding a way to get in so that they can assert their strength on and their power on that couple, that team.
I'm going to ask you this, a little similar to what I'm going to ask him with the whole couples thing. But yeah. You're Keith Lee, man. They told you back in November, you got the rocket. You're going to be on the main roster soon. Yeah, you got a girlfriend. She's on camera. We never talk about her. But now you're in a doubles feud.
Yeah.
How do you adjust that, knowing full well you had an idea planned for you, but then there's a swerve?
I realistically think his plans were put a pin in, not completely scrapped, but put a pin in due to the audience, lack of audience.
Yeah.
Keith obviously shines the best when he's in front of an audience. So if they're going to push him and take him to the moon, let's wait a little bit so he can do it the right way and not force it down people's throat. People don't like it because, you know, his spectacularness comes in when he does like flips off the top, and he's such a big guy and he moves around like a cruiserweight at times. And that's what makes him so much fun. But without the audience pop, I don't feel like we're going to get the same reaction as we would. So I'm okay with them putting a pin in it.
Yeah.
And then the mixed tag team stuff, I really enjoy that. Lacey Evans, Baron Corbin, the only reason that one didn't work is because everyone expected someone completely different. No one anticipated it to be, it was too built up to be Lacey Evans, right? So they kind of failed on that one. But yeah. With this one, it's different because you got Gargano, who's trying to be this weaselish, no soul kind of guy or whatever it is. And he comes in to try to attack a female, you know, which lowers his credibility, shows him off as a heel. Then you get Keith Lee to come in, save the day, Mia Yim. And it might even pick up Mia Yim's moveset a bit. Keith Lee might rub off on her and give her something good to move forward with. I feel like all four can benefit from this rivalry.
I'm with you. I think all four can benefit, but it won't. And here's the reason why I feel that way. And please don't clip this out. I'm just being honest. I'm watching this show for weeks. I like the fact they're trying something new with Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae, but it's not quite clicking. So you put them with literally the most charismatic person on the roster. Why am I going to be, why would I cheer? I feel like if Gargano won that eventual match, the crowd reaction wouldn't be like, wow, he beat Keith Lee. It's like, nah, I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that at all, not for a second. Not on size, not on strength, not on character, not on assurances. What can NXT do? And I know it's not your responsibility, but it's a show, so tell me. What can NXT do to make me feel like this is actually going to be an even contest?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, if they want Johnny Gargano to be hated, he's going to somehow, some way, without actually hitting her, have to hit Mia Yim. He has to somehow bump to her, whether she's on the top rope and he knocks her over or he pushes her aside to save Candice LeRae or something. He's going to need to do something to Mia Yim to get the victory, which is going to make him look like a weasel, and hopefully he gets that heat that they're looking for. From there, I'm not sure how they could book it. I don't really think they might be going for a North American Championship feud. I think this might be filler until the audience comes back, because they're anticipating August when audience can start coming back in Orlando, that is. So I really don't think it's going to go down North American Championship path. I think it's going to be simply to fill time until we get the crowd back.
Yeah, I mean, Flobo, you can, they're trying to build Johnny as like the, and Candace as this new heel, right?
Sure.
So like the best way to do that is to put them against the most beloved talent in NXT right now. So it just makes sense that like that's the way they would do it.
I agree with you 100%. I guess this time last year we sat on NXT and go, man, Candice LeRae is so great in the ring. She's so strong, but they keep putting her at Johnny as being the loving wife. But now they're just heels, and she is again the loving wife. Why can't I see a Candice LeRae feud with just Candice? You know, why can't Gargano snap someone else's ankle by himself?
I hear you.
I'm demanding everything. Free TV. I'm like, no, it should be different.
I feel like I'm reading comments on Twitter right now. What's going on?
I know. Please look at them now. We got to move on. They're now going to do a brand new segment. It's called The Brass Ring. Humza, take it away.
Yes, sir. Brass ring coming to you. We all know what the brass ring is, right? Vince McMahon always says, who's going to grab the brass ring and who's going to go to the top? So what I wanted to do is NXT, developmental brand, all these new talents come through and everyone falls in love with them. So who do I feel is going to be the next up-and-coming NXT star? Someone that's not signed yet, but will be signed very soon, and maybe you guys should look out for him. And for today's person or wrestler I chose would be Sefa Fatu. Son of Rikishi Fatu and brother with the Usos. I've been watching Sefa Fatu for a while now because he trains at Knox Pro. He's been, you know, graduated. He's been out there in the independent scene. Future Stars of Wrestling, FSA. You can see them, him on their YouTube channel. He puts on a lot of different matches there. You can see what he does. He's a lot like the Usos as far as his moveset's concerned, but I like that he comes with this aggression that I don't see from the Usos. So he brings back the old Samoan ways of doing things, the way Samoan Dynasty always rocks out, which is hard-hitting action and a lot of intense moveset.
That's good, man. If I want to go check out his matches, just type in his name on YouTube, things will come up.
Sefa, S-E-F-A, last name Fatu, everyone knows that, F-A-T-U. Type it on YouTube, Instagram, you can find him no matter where you look because he's everywhere at this point.
Oh, man, hope to see him soon in NXT. Moving on to someone who's also fairly new, Dexter Lumis had a match against Roderick Strong, which on paper, I was like, huh? But, and then people hear the match tonight, this went hard, I thought. Dexter Lumis is somebody that's complex, has layers, may not be fully fleshed out yet. Roderick Strong's getting a win, sort of, but he gets choked out at the end. Emily May, you were saying, whoa! I can't tell if it's a good woo or a bad woo. Walk me through this.
It's a good woo. Okay. Oh my gosh. So this was like my match of the, one of my matches of the night that I was so surprised about. So, you know, I've been talking about how Lumis, I'm kind of on the fence about, I'm not really like, I'm feeling him a little bit and kind of his character and his brand. But tonight, I'm going to say it, he sold it. He completely sold it for me.
Finally.
Finally. I know. Thank you, Lumis. He freaked me out. He was just terrifying. There was moments that were so intricate tonight with his facial expressions, with his holds, that I was like, believed every minute of it. And the matchup between him and Roderick Strong was pretty impeccable. And there was moments where I just was blown away by like how they work together and how they brought things to life in the ring and they made it pop on screen. And like, they didn't have an audience too. So like, I feel like with an audience, it would have even like the audience would have been going crazy.
I think the moment that sold it for me is when he had Roderick choked out and was going to take a last shot. It was like, whatever.
The thing that also sold me was the chops that like he didn't even move, that there was no reaction just in his face. And to learn how to do that, to get a solid chop from someone and not react and not show that it hurts, because you know it does.
True.
When the moves are better this. I know this too. It hurts. Like that is just a testament for like what they're going for and what they're creating here. And it sold it for me tonight. And it was exciting to watch.
Dexter Lumis is one of the more complex characters. Humza, I want your opinion about this. I mean, this guy Well, one thing, he doesn't speak, which is kind of rare for a non-lucha, right? Mm-hmm. But then it seems like he's kind of being tagged in an alliance with Velveteen Dream. Is this the right move for both men currently?
I liked it. I loved it, actually, to be honest. I'm a sucker for a good story. And when two guys get in there and they told a story, mm-hmm. and the story was that Loomis is this new guy who can't feel pain or doesn't show any expressions, just tough and everything like that. But Roderick Strong's been here for so long. So how can he can't just run over him. And I love the little nuances where Roderick had him in a hold and all he did was look over at him, spooked him out. He had to let go of him. It's like, what? That was crazy. If the audience was there, we'd be hearing, this is awesome. Like I said before too, when it comes to Velveteen Dream, that was just, in my opinion, them holding a place in case something happened with Velveteen Dream and his drama that's going on to where they could insert him if need be. Turns out everything's okay with him. So I feel like they're going to continue Dexter on his path. Everything about it, even though he lost, I feel like he won. He just did it. He did it. And his stares are creepy.
Yeah. Does it matter that he didn't, like you're saying, he lost, but does it matter that he didn't win?
It doesn't matter because the technical wrestling and the emotional and psychological part of storytelling was all there tonight. Oh, so yeah. It didn't matter because I feel like Roderick Strong was kind of getting taken over by the psychological impact that Loomis has on him.
Right.
And not just his moves, but in the mind. It was a mental game. And I feel like this was part of establishing Loomis as not only a physical threat, but a mental threat.
Right.
That's so deep. It didn't matter. Yeah.
A mental threat.
Mm-hmm.
Is Dexter Loomis someone that we could, I don't know, put on souvenir cups in the production truck? I mean, is that character strong enough or is it just too early to tell?
I mean, of course we can. Yeah,
it makes a Zingara. That'd be great.
There's a
session. You can do anything.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
There's a session of audience from like 13 to 18 where the kids just love the most hardcore people they can find. Who's the most aggressive? Who's the most rough? Who's, you know, just crazy and mental? And I think that a lot of the younger generation people watching this, fans, would love this. And they're gonna get behind it. They're gonna like the whole style behind it because it almost reminds me a little bit of Attitude Era where we had the Canes and the Undertakers and everyone came out all weird and mysterious, and that mystique is what I enjoyed watching. So let's see how long he can keep it up. Maybe this might be a future like 25 WrestleMania victory winner like Undertaker. Who knows? But it's very interesting. I like interesting.
I mean, they're developing his look still. And I mean, I feel like the internal character is there and the moveset is there, you know, but again, the outside branding always evolves and it might be one of those things that it might evolve, but I could totally see him having some type of really cool merch that goes with his look.
Yep.
Ah, for sure. But before we move on to our next match, it's now time for the Lockdown Playlist, which I'm not sure if I can still call it that as the country's being opened up more and more.
Like semi-lockdown.
Yeah, social distancing thing. If you're like me and you like NXT and you want to watch something in downtime, if you have a lot of that, here's a little situation, a little bit of a match I like to recommend every week here on NXT. This one happened 3 years ago today. We're talking May 20th, 2017, TakeOver Chicago 1. Now, a lot of reasons why I like this one, because Bobby Roode was a badass back in NXT, had a match against Hideo Itami. Think about that. Bobby Roode and Kenta in a match for the NXT title? Oh, that was cool. He is better. Ruby Riott was on fire in the triple threat match with Asuka and Nikki Cross for the women's title. But most people remember TakeOver Chicago 1 as a night where AOP fought DIY in a ladder match and Ciampa turned on Gargano, setting up one of the biggest storylines NXT's ever seen. So you got 2.5 hours to spare. I recommend you check out NXT Chicago 1 for May 20th. 2017. I wish I had a little thing. That'd be perfect.
That's like the best recommendations every time. I swear to God. I am going to go watch that.
I appreciate that, man. Put your brother. Let's talk about Birch and Lorcan. The Brit Am Brawlers had a match against Ever Rise, who seems to change their look up every single week. Birch and Lorcan, I'm a big fan of them because they look like guys that I will meet at the bar. We'll have a couple drinks. But if I ask to be their friends, they'll tell me no. Hitting hard. You know, won their match. It looks like they may be in the picture for the tag team championships.
Possibly. I mean, Who has them now? I mean, I kind of forget about that, the entirety of it, the Chat GPT.
Yeah, yeah, the Imperium has it, but...
Oh, there you go. That's right, that's right, that's right.
The one last week, yeah.
That's crazy. What, I forget that. Everrise, I don't know what... I don't think I've ever really paid attention to Everrise before. They look like a knockoff Nick and Matt Jackson from AEW.
Yeah, yeah, they're not so Young Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, Slobo, it's been a while, right, since they've been on TV, right?
They were on Raw two and a half weeks ago, but they wore black trunks with like the Montreal Fleur-de-Lis. This is a whole new like visual look for them. So I can see if it's like, yeah.
Because they used to be very Canadian, Quebecian, right? And now they have this new gimmick they debuted, right?
Well, if they're Canadian, I like them to begin with, because all Canadian wrestlers I've ever seen have been wonderful. Edge, Christian, Benoit, I mean, all of them are great.
Did you know that in wrestling, we always hate Canadians?
Canadians, no.
Why?
I don't know. That's the way it is in wrestling. In real life, they're cool. But in wrestling, ugh. I love Randy Brie.
You need your maple cookies.
No, sorry, what's that?
No, it's fine.
I'm just saying, overall, the match did what it needed to do. I mean, they jobbed out real quick. It was there. I kind of didn't really pay attention to it, to be honest. It was just cool filler, like
I mean, it was a quick match.
It's a filler match, but the question is now, with Imperium now being tag team champions, I mean, who's gonna be a contender? Even if they're being fed to Imperium, who you know? All right, you guys are interested. That's fine.
I'm at a loss because I don't think they build up their tag team division. Because Emily, you and I were talking earlier today,
we were talking about it,
tag teams. But I don't think we named any of them off of NXT.
No, we didn't.
No. Okay. So I'm at a loss, Lobo. That's on you.
It's on me. The thing is, I'm the only fan of Birch and Lorcan, so I'll have them wearing the straps.
They're your buddies. You love them. Hold it.
In my 2K19, they are the NXT tag team. I'm just like, no. How to create Denny Birch and everything. All right. So anyway.
We should play that together.
We should, man. My character, Flobito Reyes, is the tag team player. Okay. So Kushida had a match against Drake Maverick in the NXT Interim Cruiserweight Championship. That's right. The man's so, so dope. He draws his own clock all over his wrist. Drake Maverick actually wins the match, but then we got ourselves a dust-up. A fist the cup, Jack Farmer would say, if you listen to the AEW Dynamite after show, after this show. And a triple threat match is set for next week to find the true winner of Group A. Jaden Flobo says it's filler. Thane Flobo goes, this is awesome. Emily May, walk me through this. Group A action.
I think it's awesome. I think the triple threat match is going to be great because you have, Group A is too overloaded right now. You have too many people tied. So it's a perfect way to get down to the last opponent. And, you know, and I think tonight's match was really great for Drake Maverick. I feel like he showed that he wanted this and he wanted to make a statement, and he has been fighting with this edge, like a little bit different than I've seen in this tournament. And it's been edgy and there's like more emotion behind the moves, and, you know, and Kushida has all these like submissions galore, right? Which are so like, so intricate and so epic. And it was overall a really great match, a surprising win. I didn't think Drake Maverick was going to take it, but I think it made it interesting.
Emily May, who you got next week? Atlas, Maverick, Kushida.
It's hard. Do I do it based on like what I feel in my heart as a fan, or like logic?
It has to be logic, because you're going to clip it out. I'm like, Emily May, you said.
I'm gonna say, I think it's going to be Kushida.
Okay. So, Hamza, thoughts about the match tonight, and who do you have next week?
It's funny you say Kushida, because I tweeted him in the middle of the match, and I said, hey, I travel to time forward in time, and you win the Cruiserweight tournament. And then right after that, I tweeted him saying, never mind.
Oh, man. Kushida's going to kill you.
Kushida's going to, like, find you.
First of all, I just hope Drake is okay, because that finisher almost looked like it got messed up. And I was like, oh, no, he fell wrong. But it turned out. If anything,
that's he's fine. Damn, Emily. he's all right. Wow.
Well, he looked like he was all right when he got up. I wish he would get rid of that tan, though, that spray on tan. I know Florida's hot outside, but come on, man.
You know what? He misses like half of his hair. So you see it, dude. All right, sorry.
He's like sweating it off.
All right, that's the point. All right, let's not kill this guy's looks.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know what I liked about it? It almost seemed like Drake Maverick's like scratching and clawing, and therefore he finally got his little victory again. And he's like, you're thinking he's going to go on to win it. Then he gets surprised with this triple threat. And it's like, okay, we have to possibly rebuild and keep moving up with him. So it made it a little bit more exciting. I want Kushida to win. I don't know what it is about him. I just really enjoy watching him wrestle. I think he's very entertaining. I think he's great with his moves. So is Drake Maverick. Yeah. But Drake Maverick's story is something I'm really enjoying right now. And if he wins it, it'll be like a good for you, man. Good for you.
I mean, that's how I feel, Hamza. Like, I kind of want Drake Maverick to take it because I'm like, it'd be such a good story, right? Mm-hmm. But then I feel like Kushida's like the logical one. And then Jake Atlas is like the underdog, like newbie to NXT, like making a statement for himself. Like, oh, I want to pull for all three of them. Can they all win? They all
win. That's how championships work, Emily.
I know.
You guys are all talented.
You're all winners.
Participation title.
I was champion too.
No, it could be like Mean Girls, where they break the belt and all in the
lay cool.
Yeah, and all three spots.
Oh my God.
Pieces. Well,
I had it for Kushida as well, only because of two things. One, Kushida's impressed me a lot in this tournament. I now know what he is and what he stands for. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to give me a match against Io de Fantasma, which you haven't given enough to hate or to like, then I'd rather have Kushida, where I'm like, oh, go ahead, Kushida, than like Drake Maverick. Because if Drake Maverick loses in the finals, I'd be like, boo, Io de Fantasma. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's totally be better for them. But that's just me. My predictions are terrible. I have the second worst prediction records at AfterBuzz. Jack Farmer's the worst. He has a bunch of asterisks. Make sure to check him out on AfterBuzz TV Wrestling and Sports.
Our host, A-Nurs. Everybody.
Yeah, the guys who run the show, the worst at predictions. I'm telling you, man. I had Shotzi Blackheart winning this year's Royal Rumble. Okay, so our main event was Io Shirai and Rhea Ripley, a drag out contest. I'm so glad it was the main event. Haywood Wong was on Twitter asking for me the main event. It was the main event. Charlotte Flair came down to get a closer look. She gets knocked over. She gets involved. No contest. I have my own feelings about this.
Flobo, go. Wait.
You go first?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You're Charlotte Flair, right? You got so many championships. You know you're better than everyone else on the planet. You're the queen. Why are you going to get in the closer look? You know what? Why are you being involved? These people should be fighting the chance to come into your court as if they were peasants clashing and scraping for a chance that title you hold around your waist. You hold all the riches. Why are you going down there? You should actually hire someone to go down there on your behalf because you're the queen. You get involved and it's no contest. This could have been a dope match. Could have been a match of the year, if not the century. But what we got was a non-finish. Emily May?
Okay, you said what I wanted to say. I won't say it as good as you. But I love Charlotte, but she didn't need to go out there. I wanted to see Rhea Ripley and Io Shirai just, they ripped into each other and were like so like on the same level the whole time. And then it ended with a no contest. And that made me sad. I wanted them to have a finisher and a moment for both of them that we could get behind.
I'm just, you're like, nah.
Charles just Wright. Like the just like the band Poppy, I disagree.
This what?
Is, come on. No. I was afraid because when I saw this match happening, I was like, no, they're gonna make Io lose, and then she's out of the picture, and then I want to see her do things. And to me, if I have to pick three of my favorite female wrestlers right now, those three are it. Rhea Ripley is one of the best, in my opinion, my personal opinion, best right now female wrestler up and coming. Io Shirai is one of my favorite female wrestlers right now. And then Charlotte, the queen. And the queen of wrestling is not one that sits back and watches things happen. The queen of wrestling goes out there and she makes her mark. She makes people remember who she is. She shows up on every show and she dominates.
She's showing up everywhere.
Everywhere. if it's, I mean, where's Becky Lynch? Anyone know?
She's being on maternity leave.
Well, she's on leave. She's on leave.
What's the other one? Bailey?
Whoa. What? You do not talk ill about Bailey. Nope.
Bailey's my girl.
Okay, I know she's complaining to some manager at some Walmart right now, but
as far as
the queen is concerned,
you're breaking my heart here.
I'm sorry. I just have to be a little bit of a negative Nancy here and disagree with you guys.
Negative Nancy.
No, disagreeing is cool, man. I totally get it. I understand. I'm feeling the opposite. I was watching the match. I'm like, yo, Io Shirai's been waiting. Rhea Ripley took a month off. would it be the worst thing for NXT if Rhea went down the card to fill out the mid card? I thought it was going to happen. But there's no contest. Okay, you got a triple threat match, presumably at TakeOver in your house. I'm just like, man, if I'm the queen, I don't know, bro. You can't tell me. Here's the thing about Flair, about the Flairs, right? People complain in their couches. They go, Charlotte Flair is so down their throats. Charlotte Flair gets all these opportunities. She's good. She deserves every opportunity on the planet. But unlike her dad, who was cowardly, who would get on his hands and knees and be like, please don't hit me. Right there in the jewels. Charlotte Flair is good. She can talk better than you. She can wrestle better than you. She can like hit you in the face better than you. I think that there was a women's right contest between Lacey Evans and Charlotte Flair. Charlotte hit harder than anybody out there.
Right.
That's why to me it seems weird. She's like, let's see what's going on outside. Let me go downstairs and see what's going on in the ring. I'm just saying.
I mean, it just what it seems like to me is they're trying to make it seem like she is who her real life is, right? It seems like they're trying to mix her real life version of me, let me win the Royal Rumble. I want to win the Money in the Bank. I want all the titles. I think she's just playing it up now because that's what everyone thinks about her. And same thing goes with Nia Jax. Everyone thinks she's like this weird lady that wants to beat up on everybody really hardcore. Not the case, but they play up to that character and it gets the fans involved. And the more fans hate you, the more they tune in to watch you lose. So now she has these, I mean, she can't go against Rhea Ripley again. We already saw that. So I didn't Io Shirai let her win, if anything. But Io Shirai might be there just to take the pinfall. Who knows?
Wait, well, okay. You're right. I do think the Nia Jax thing, she gets a lot of hate and that's unwarranted. But if she faced Rhea Ripley again with a stipulation, that's totally fine with me. Especially now with a new audience. I'm cool with that.
You're right. True. The stipulation would be cool. With like a best 2 out of 3 falls match or something would be really awesome to see them 2 in. You're right.
I think the reason why Charlotte keeps going out there, going on all the shows is because she's the best of the best. She needs to keep proving it. And she needs to get other women involved. And so she has to go against Io Shirai. She has to go against Rhea Ripley. She has to like go through the whole roster because where else does she go? She has to beat everyone in her path. And this is the way to show that she can do that.
I guess. Well, next week, I think we're at some sort of resolution that as we move towards NXT TakeOver in your house. I'm excited to see what happens because I know, real quick before we get out of here, I just want your thoughts about this real quick. Matt Riddle is having a match against Timothy Thatcher in a non-pin doesn't count, just basically submissions or KO. Who you got next week before we get out of here?
Riddle.
Thatcher.
Oh. Ooh.
I love Riddle too, but I'm gonna just be the opposite of what Hamza says. I'm gonna say Thatcher because I think they might be mixing some things up.
Wow, you know what? Thatcher does need to win. He needs to win, but Riddle's a bro. We're gonna find out. I'm rooting for Riddle, but I think Thatcher's gonna win.
They got rid of my favorite show.
Oh, the Newly Bro Show.
So I'm upset. Yes.
Bro.
Oh my God.
That's all the time we have for this edition of the NXT After Show exclusively on AfterBuzz TV Wrestling and Sports. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, share the show with your friends on social media, and check out other wrestling shows and wrestling articles at AfterBuzzTV.com. Before we get out of here, Emily May, where can the world find you online?
All right. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Emily May Heller. You can catch me on Total Bellas at 7 o'clock here at AfterBuzz TV, Wrestling and Sports. And Women's Wrestling Weekly, we have an interview today, and that's up and ready to go. And yeah, so catch up. I have a bunch of wrestling articles coming out soon, so check my Twitter. It's awesome.
Dang, Hamza.
I mean, I don't know how I'm going to follow that, but Hamza_mania on Instagram and Twitter. Hamza, H-U-M-Z-A _mania, M-A-N-I-A. Also on my Instagram in the link, there's a link in the profile. We're putting on a wrestling show, a Zoom wrestling show tomorrow at 6 p.m. Pacific time with Nox Pro. If you go on there, you can register. Rikishi's the one backing it up, and it's free for everyone to join. So let me hear what you guys think about it.
Yo, shout out to Rikishi that he had a song on the WWE Originals album that it said, put a little ass on it. Put a little ass on it. Hey, yo, my name is Flobo Boys. You can follow me at Twitter at Flobo Boys. on Instagram at Flobito and Flobito.com. Listen, I'm a comedian in this time of the global pandemic and shutdown. I can't do stand-up anymore. So what I did is I'm actually doing my first ever novelty comedy song. Follow me on Patreon, patreon.com/Flobovoice, and I'm detailing every step of the way from concept to completion of my first ever novelty comedy song. The Black Weird Al, that's what they call me. But until next time, buzz you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.